Okay, next up this evening is the budget for the library. And you guys are muted at City Hall.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
Page 35 on the budget, page 27 on the personnel supplement, increase of about almost 3.5%.
Thank you. Are there any members of the council that have any questions on the library budget? Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. I got a couple items I want to mention. One is here, I see that we're advertising for a deputy director. We don't have a deputy director right now, do we?
No, we don't.
So is there a need for a deputy director? I know we've been less people in the library. How many people are you actually down in the library right now?
How many staff people are we down?
Yes, yes.
We're down 12 people right now.
So we need a deputy director, you think?
Yes, I am new to the director position. I was the deputy director for 8 years. It's a difficult, it's one of the largest libraries in the state. There's a lot to manage on the state, it's statewide for libraries, which is what the director usually manages along with the city communication. And then the deputy director usually manages more of the staff and in-house process.
Okay, I understand. One thing I always mention, and I did this to prior to Chris, even before when Chris was the director, I'm still concerned, and if it's in the budget, I heard last time he was going to put it in the budget, was the door that I kept requesting for in the circulation workshop.
Right.
Is it in the budget?
It's listed as a capital request, but I believe I've looked at it and I believe it's something that we can pay for through the maintenance, the building maintenance line. I wasn't able to get it done quickly enough for this budget, but then it's in line. The architect is looking at it and we're working on getting that done in the next 6 months or so.
Oh, that would be awesome because I've been asking for it for like years.
Yeah.
Another follow-up is I read in here about the branches, something about rentals. So how's the situation with Apanog, Connecticut, and Norwood? What's going on with the branches?
So Connecticut is open. They are almost at the full hours they were at pre-COVID. Right now, the main issue with the branches is I don't have the staff to staff them. The secondary issue is that we're looking at ways to make them accessible. The Apanog and the Norwood branch don't have accessibility. If you are in a wheelchair, you can't.
Right, handicap.
So, yeah.
I know both those neighborhoods have been, calling me. Different people in the branches have been calling me, asking me when they're going to open. But I know that was one of the issues without even getting a complete answer. And there was one more special, I think it was special programs, number 43-355. It used to be 189,236, then it went way down, and now it's 23,000. Is that the one, that new one that you're talking about with the radio?
No, actually, the radio stuff is all paid for through a grant. This
oh, good.
Is, yeah, that was an amazing grant that we worked together with other libraries in the state to get. The 23,000, the past few years, it's been around 10,000. This year I bumped it up, but it's really just moving money from the office supplies, line 201, because we have a home delivery program where we mail items to people who are homebound. They can't get out of their house for whatever reason. And this year we've had a lot more people sign up because they were worried about COVID issues. So we've paid a lot in postage and we usually pay it through the supply budget, but it's a program. So I just moved that money from supply budget to the program budget.
I see.
So it's not an increase necessarily. It's more just shifting money to the place it belongs.
I understand. The last question I have, I think, was building maintenance. Now, I know we have a board of directors for the trustee, you know, the trustees and stuff. But what's under building maintenance? Does the city plow in the library, or do you guys pay to have somebody do the library? Or
for plowing the parking lot, the city usually will come through as they're going down Sandy Lane. The maintenance department does all of the shoveling of the sidewalks and all of that stuff.
Maintenance, okay.
Right. And the other things that are covered in that budget line are basic building repairs, roof repairs, yard maintenance, painting, carpeting, window cleaning, pest control. It's all of just the random things that happen that we have to keep up with in that building.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Director, I apologize. Welcome. I believe this is your first budget hearing as the director. So congratulations. And
thank you.
We all look forward to working with you. And the one other note, as Councilwoman Travis mentioned, the library does have its own board that you have to work with that helps with the budget and in these hirings as well.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Good evening, Director, and welcome as well.
Thank you.
Director, I want to follow up on Councilwoman Travis's question regarding the deputy director. So you had stated that prior to becoming director, you were the deputy director?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And in last year's budget, your salary was bumped up from $97,312 to $99,989. And how long did you say you were in that position?
8 years.
8 years. Okay. So having said, given the fact that you were there for 8 years, you had, you know, various raises for, you know, all the reasons that apply to it, brought your salary up last year to $99,989. Part of it is because of your 8 years of service. Part of it is because perhaps contractual, I'm not sure. But the question I have is, where you were in that position for 8 years and your salary with a bump last year of looks like 2.something% was $99,989. Why are you budgeting $102,000 for a brand new employee?
I believe, I'd like to look back at what I put in. I believe the bottom step for that position is 78,000 full-time deputy director. Yeah, the proposed salary is 78,000. I didn't put the personnel supplement together. I'm not sure exactly where that number comes from.
I can say that the personnel supplement probably picked up Janet in her previous role and added the 2.75%. But any raise that she may have gotten or anybody she hired, that salary would be approved by the library board.
Right.
Okay, but the budget still has to be approved by the council.
Yeah.
And again, my question is particularly now where the director said the bottom step. So that would be, you know, someone brand new with, you know, perhaps some experience, not the experience of the director that she had in that position for 8 years. But that certainly doesn't warrant jumping a brand new hire from 78,000 to 102,000. That's a $24,000 increase. That's doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You say you need the position. Okay, I don't run a library, so I'm not going to argue with that point. But I do have a problem with starting a brand new employee that has no experience in the city, let's say, no longevity whatsoever, with a salary of $103,000.
They wouldn't start at that.
But that's what you budgeted. So why is that number budgeted? Why isn't the number 78,000 or 80,000 or 82,000?
Councilman Lattiser, are you sitting down? Because I'm going to tell you, you're right. That number is not, that number is incorrect.
Who is this?
It's Lynn.
Lynn?
Yes.
Could you repeat that last statement, please?
This is recorded.
I have not heard any of my colleagues say that. Matter of fact, anyone say that in a long time.
I mean, I helped put the personal supplement together, and I didn't catch that. That is Jana's old salary in her previous position plus 275%. That is probably she will hire at.
Yeah.
What should the number be, Lynn?
I
believe it's 78,346, but that's without the 2.75%. Yeah.
They wouldn't get the 2.75.
No. Oh, they wouldn't. Okay.
That's 1 year of service.
I see. Got it. Right. So it would just be the 78,346.
78,346 is the salary for a deputy director. How many employees would that deputy director be responsible for?
All of them, aside from myself. We share the responsibility. In my absence, the deputy director is in charge of the building and all of the staff.
Okay, so it's about 13 persons.
Actually, 47.
How many?
47.
Oh, I see. That's right. No, I'm sorry. I see. I didn't pay attention to the number of positions. I was just adding up the titles. Okay, so 47 people. You have budgeted here 49. How did it go from 47 to 49?
49. I'm sorry, I'm mistaken.
Okay, so 49?
Yeah, it's 49.
Okay. So there has to be an adjustment then from the 102,739 down to the 78,346, right, Lynn?
That's up to you. And the council.
Okay. All right. I will make note. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh,
no,
sorry.
Hold on, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
So also on the electricity item, and as I said earlier, this just seems to be a common denominator amongst the departments, 43,224. In 2019, your actual use of electricity was 31,333. In 2020, it jumped up to 95,163. In 2021, revised budget of 113, the actual year to date in 2021, right now is 80,000, with a projected finish in about 30 some days of 107,000, and you're budgeting for 113. So how is that number, how did you come to have that number or that increase of 27,000 in the next 4 or 5 weeks when the three quarter year or better actually was 80,000?
So as of Friday, I ran the numbers to see our actual spending, and that budget line is up to 90,000. We budget about 100,000 for actual electricity, and then $13,000 goes towards a payment to Rise that we replaced a bunch of LED lighting replaced lighting with LEDs in the library, and we're paying that off through our electricity budget. So generally the central building uses $100,000 worth of electricity, but we've added a $13,000 to pay off what we bought through Rise with replacing lighting.
So the lighting that you replaced, that was LED lighting, right?
Correct.
And don't they have a grant program for that where there is no cost?
Not that we were included in, no. It's a significant reduction in rate, and we also get a discount on our energy use because the energy use is lower, but we don't have, there's not a free grant program for us. I'm not sure if that's something the city has.
But. Yeah, well, I'm not asking regarding the city, I'm asking regarding RISE. I believe that they do have programs where fixtures are installed at no charge or next to no charge. And they do have various programs, which is a very good program, by the way.
I'll be sure to look into that because we have only done about half of the building. So we still have a significant portion to do.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's worth looking into. Maybe beneficial, may not. Line 43, 352, Automated Systems Library. First question is, what is that? And that number, again, is like going up major since 2019. In 2019, it was 37, jumped up to 183 in 2020, revised budget of 196 in 2021, with a projection of 168 and you're budgeting 196. So what is that? How come it went up so significant from 2019?
So this is the most significant part of that budget are the Ocean State Library's consortium membership fees. It's $153,600 a year. That covers all of the software and any other consortium related library things that we do that the whole state supplies. The number increased significantly because in around 2017, 2018, Ocean State Libraries reconfigured how they charge libraries and based it on population as opposed to usage, I believe, or it could have been vice versa. I wasn't the director then, so I'm not positive how they reconfigured it, but it reconfigured it to our misfortune. It really changed our budget and how we manage our system. So it increased significantly. But that's what automated systems is. 153,000 of that budget line is basically what makes us a library in the state of Rhode Island.
So this is it largely for different versions of software? Is that what this ginormous fee is for?
Correct. It's management of the software itself, all of our wireless, all of that is run through Ocean State Libraries. There's a lot that they manage.
Isn't this something that could be done through our own, I would add, extremely competent MIS department right here in the city?
No, it's pretty specialized. And it's all, we all work together. So this makes it so that when you go to a library in Cranston, you can get any book from any library in the state. So we all share our resources and the software, and that's what makes Rhode Island very unique in library services.
Wow. You also held to an extremely high price tag too, compared to what it was 2 years ago. That's
Warwick is one of the highest users of library resources in the state. We have the most physical checkouts and we also have the most digital checkouts in the state. So I think considering we also get the most grant and aid from federal money. So I feel like it sort of makes up for it. I think that the access that we have would be so limited if we were just supplying our own items as opposed to having access to anything in the state that can be supplied.
Okay, thank you, Director. Good luck in the new position. As I
said,
I run a library. I don't know how to run a library, so I'll leave it in your hands. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's not get in the habit of telling Ed he was right and correct. We don't want to set that precedent. Just Mr. kidding,
Councilman. That was law of averages.
It'll never happen again.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks.
Everybody's in trouble tomorrow.
Yeah, so to switch gears, my question had more to do with the accessibility at the Norwood branch. And I apologize that we haven't had an opportunity to speak about this before tonight's meeting. But since Councilwoman Travis had brought it up, and I know that it is an issue where, in fact, I recall a constituent relaying to me part of a conversation, and, you know, I certainly don't intend to, you know, hold that as gospel, what with the telephone game being what it is. But from what I was understanding of that conversation and from what I know of the building, which I've been going to since I think I was around 3 or 4 years old, more or less, is that it would make little sense to, on that historic structure, and given the dimensions of the building as it stands right now, to build a ramp directly in front of the building. But instead, especially since it's a relatively small building right now, to add a small addition to the side that would incorporate a new entryway, which would include a ramp that would allow for ADA access. And so looking at the budget, I wasn't seeing anything that would speak to that in this budget. Is that something that's being explored through a grant or a different process?
Yes, so your constituent must be an architect because that's exactly what they came up with. We've been working with the planning department and we've hired an architect to look at Appanag and at Norwood. They're both, I consider them sort of not the safest entrance. They have multiple steps to get into them. So even if you are capable of walking, you could probably just trip right inside of it. So the idea is there's ARPA money through the city, through the state, there's federal funding, there are grants coming out all over. And Senator Reed is actually working on a Build America's Library or Rebuild America's Libraries Act that we're hoping will get passed. Basically, there's tons of infrastructure money. So the planning department and I are working together to have plans, the architectural plans ready for when this money flies by us, we can say, hey, we're ready to put a shovel in the ground, ready to go. This is how much it's gonna cost. It's an addition to the building. It incorporates a ramp that goes around the backside of the building straight into the parking spaces attached to Norwood. So you could have a handicap parking space right there at the ramp, come into the building. It also puts a restroom on the first floor of the building. The unfortunate part about Norwood is the second or the basement, it's just not easy to get to. So what we would have to do is bring any items up to the first floor and just use that first floor as the library, just so that everyone has access to everything that's available. But definitely the plans are in effect. I wasn't able to put a number in this budget because we haven't finished talking with the architect yet, but it's definitely in the works. And as best as I can, I'm working on some sort of infrastructure grant funding to pay for that and for Appanag.
That's very exciting. And I would also add that there are perhaps potential opportunities as well in terms of expanding some, room for various outdoor library activities at that branch, or alternatively, even perhaps some additional room for parking, as this city council a couple of years ago passed a resolution for the city to study the closing off of K Street immediately in front of the library. And I think that perhaps with the new administration, we would be able to work together to make sure that we're able to do that, not just for the neighborhood, but also for the sake of the library and essentially being able to expand the area for all sorts of community activities to be so that we'll have those activities in a more safe environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt.
Hi, Director. Thank you so much. The only question I had is on building maintenance. This building is maintained by DPW also?
No, it is not. I heard that last night and I said, oh, that's not right. This is the one building I think in the city that city owns but is maintained by our maintenance department, and we have to contract out our own HVAC people, elevator people, everything.
Okay, got it. And then when you go out to bid for those things, do those go before the library board? Is that how that works?
Yeah, they have to approve everything.
Okay, got it. And is that structured that way because out of some essential need, or is there an opportunity to potentially look at bringing them under the umbrella? Not that they don't have enough on their plate already, but...
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the history behind that. And everyone I talk to just says, oh, it's always been that way. I'm super open to asking for help from the city, as most of the people at this table can. So I'm always open to DPW and asking for help. But I also understand they're bogged down. And, you know, if they can swing by and clear our parking lot while they're doing the snow, that's great. If they can't, that's also fine. I can figure that out. But I do think that working together and sort of combining resources will help us both out. So.
Okay, 100%. Yeah, I think that's definitely something to look into in the future. But very much appreciate you joining us tonight. Thank you so much for taking my time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any members of the council haven't got a chance to speak yet? Would like to ask a question? Okay, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I only have one question that I forgot to ask. As I'm going through the, the personnel, I see different descriptions, library aides and all the stuff, the shelfers. Do you have a cataloger? I don't see that.
Well, we have a collection management librarian, and she's listed, she's one of the librarian two positions. She manages the collection. And she did have a full-time library aide working with her, but that person has since retired and the position has not been filled. Right now, she has a part-time person helping out with super basic stuff.
Okay, well, just curious, because I've been going to that library for years and years and years, and I thought we had one many years ago and I didn't see it in the budget, so I was curious. But
the
thank
idea
you.
Of, no problem. The idea of a cataloger, we don't, that's another benefit of the consortium, is that they handle a lot of that. So then we don't have to pay someone to do it for us. It's all managed at OSL. So it's another benefit of that $153,000 price tag.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Gephardt.
Sorry, I had one quick follow-up. So I was in my brain, I was imagining the main branch, but in terms of maintenance, would that be that none of the library buildings are maintained by DPW, all through your department? Okay.
Right.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there members of the public that would like to speak on the library's budget? Looks like we have a hand raised. If we could unmute.
Hi, Barbara Walsh. I have a question on the home delivery program. Could you describe that and what the eligibility is to receive that benefit?
Sure. Our home delivery, it's the homebound program that was started through a Rhode Island Foundation grant. I believe it was Rhode Island Foundation, but we've maintained it since initiating it. Basically, you work with one of our librarians to, they find out what you like to read, what you like to watch. They pull a bag together for you, and once every 3 weeks, they'll send you a bag of 5 or 6 items to your house, and it has return postage. When you're done with it, you put everything back in the bag, put it in your mailbox, they bring it back to us, and we start the whole process over again. This year—
So you're using the regular mail to deliver these books?
Correct, yes.
What's the eligibility for this program? Because you mentioned something about COVID.
Right.
Somebody who just doesn't want to go out, or does there have to be some sort of criteria by which they cannot go out?
So pre-COVID, we really stressed that it had to be someone who physically couldn't get out of their house. You have some sort of disability. There's something that makes it so that you can't leave your house. And we had probably about 70 patrons that used the service that way. Once COVID hit, we opened it up more because people, older people, were very nervous to leave their house and still wanted items and were not digitally savvy enough to use our digital resources. So we were able to get physical items to people who probably could have left their house in normal times, but were extremely afraid of catching COVID. So we're backing back off now because we have open the building. We feel like people are vaccinated. And actually, people have said, I don't need this anymore. I'm comfortable coming into the building. So we're going back to slowly going back to it's limited to people who are really restricted to their home. And I'd love to be able to mail everybody their books like Amazon does, but it is an expensive program, and I would like to keep it for those people who genuinely can't get out of their house.
Well, it's also expensive given the weight of books to mail books.
Correct, yes.
All right. Can I assume you do not include the blind in this because that program exists through the state library?
We can still do things for the blind. We don't have items in Braille. We can do audiobooks for the blind. And you can also access the state program. That's totally fine.
But if you access the state program, postage is free. There is no cost.
Oh, the state has all kinds of loopholes.
Well, not to the person receiving the book.
I'm sorry.
The person receiving the book pays nothing in postage.
Right.
And so the state is getting free postage through the post office.
Right. We don't have that. The patron doesn't have to pay anything, though.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying I would hope you'd exclude the blind because there's a free program already available. I'm also wondering, in terms of the Norwood branch, in terms of ADA,
yes.
Am I wrong in that ADA requires physical construction for accessibility if there's already a program to renovate or refurbish or rehab a building? It doesn't say every municipal or state building must be made physically accessible. It says the program, not the building, needs to be able to provide books or services or whatever, so that if staff go from one floor to another, that's sufficient to meet the language of ADA, unless you're rehabbing that building anyway. Is that not correct? Am I wrong about that?
That is correct. And that's how we've been able to keep those buildings open.
So why not do your delivery service to people who otherwise might not be able to enter Norwood Library? That would be a whole lot cheaper than rehabbing that building.
That's a thought.
Oh, good. I made one good point tonight. a second thought that I wanted to ask about was solar panels at the Sandy Lane Library. When you're talking, what, $100,000 in electricity, has anybody considered putting solar panels on that building?
Yes, the previous director looked into that extensively. The building itself is not built to maintain the weight of solar panels. at this time, I'm looking more into wind power and then also off-site solar power. So I'm working on it. I'm just not quite there yet.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any more members of the public that would like to speak on the library budget? Hearing none, we'll move to the human services budget.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jana.
Thank you.
Thank you. If I may, one quick comment. I would...
Councilman, quickly, we're going to move on, though. So, quickly.
I would be highly supportive of ADA access to the Norwood Library branch. That's all.
Thank you. Human services.
Human services is on page 36 and 37 of the general fund, and on the personnel supplement, that's page 28.
Okay, do we have any questions from members of the council on the human services budget? Councilman Gephardt.
Just trying to understand what I'm assuming it's an accounting change or something from 2019 into 2020 and beyond for the for everything from 46,398 down.
390. Oh, okay. So all of those line items are contained in the contributive support budget. So last year that those particular nonprofits or other agencies applied to the city for the contributive support grants, they're small grants to support small businesses in the area. Those are being worked on right now and should be awarded very shortly. So next year it will look a little bit different just because there might be different grantees in the process. But it's generally a $150,000 budget that folks apply for in the community and they are granted accordingly.
Understood. So so all that is sort of rolled up in 46,499. And then as they're awarded, we'll see the actuals later on.
That's exactly right, Councilman. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Item 46101, salaries, municipal. What is the increase in salaries or salary attributed to? The projection for this year is 102 and the new is 131. The reasoning for that, please.
So two things have happened to the human services salary line items. There is one fewer position in this line item, and that would be there was a position that was eliminated. The senior clerk typist, which had been eliminated due to layoffs in the bargaining unit, was reestablished and is included in that budget.
So I might have missed something. A position has been eliminated and something was reestablished where?
So in previous, well, prior to last year, the senior clerk typist position that is in that human services budget had actually appeared in senior services. And now it has been moved to human services. I'm not quite sure why that is. Maybe just to balance out that budget.
And how much was the salary in the position that was eliminated?
It was 68,000. So I'm not quite sure why that is coming out higher than it would have before, because there was a $68,000 line item, or I'm sorry, salary line item that was eliminated, and a $43,000 one that was added. I would assume that the projected did not include the fact that the person who had that eliminated budget line item retired in, I want to say, September. And so that wouldn't show in the actual. It was not filled during that time, so it would not appear there.
But so the position wasn't being compensated for either, correct?
Correct.
Right. So you have since September, so that's 9 months of monies that wasn't being compensated. I don't get how it's going from 84,860 at this time and jumping up 18,000 in 4 weeks or 5 weeks. I don't understand how it's jumping up to 102,000. And if we dropped off 68 and added in 43, that's a $25,000 swing. So I don't understand how these numbers are coming up to where they are.
Looking at the projection. So you just have a problem with my projection number for the second column in the projection.
Right. For 2022, what your projected budget number is. I mean, proposed budget. The proposed budget number is 131,255. The projection. The projection for 2021 is jumping from the recent year-to-date number of 84,860 to a projected year-end of 102,252. So it's a twofold question. I'm asking, how does it go from 85,000, round number, to 102,000?
If you look at the 21 budget, it's $153,000.
Oh, okay.
And if you look at the proposed budget, it's 131, which is a reduction for her request because a position was eliminated and a new position put in here that it pays $20,000 less.
So where are you looking at? I'm on page 36. And I'm
looking page 36. If you go four columns from the right, if you go four columns from the right, the revised budget.
Okay.
And you compare that to the far right for the 131, it's a $20,000 drop in her request. She won't spend the 153 this year because she has a vacancy.
So that
retirement.
The year to date of 84,860 and then the projection of 102,252 was because exactly as you said, there was one person who was not being compensated for the greater part of the year.
Yes.
But still the difference between the revised budget of 153,896, it has been reduced to 131,255 because of the difference in salaries, eliminating the $68,000 salary and adding the 43.
Okay. All right. That seems to make sense. In the positions that are remaining, project coordinator, 62,166, new nurse wellness coordinator, 50%, 25,713, and then the senior clerk typist that was assigned, 43,000. Any one of those three positions have an increase in salary for this coming year?
Councilman, none of the staffs in either 46, 47, or 48 are receiving more than 2.75.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. President. I'm all set with that.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions from members of the public on the human services budget? Are there any questions from members of the public on the human services budget? Okay, hearing none, Meg's gonna stay right there and we're gonna go to the senior center's budget, please.
Page 38.
Meg, my first question is the senior center open?
Yes, it is. We had a soft opening last week where we started out with just a couple of classes a day. Next week, June 1st, we are opening up the center itself to people who want to come by. The gift and coffee shops will be open. We are bringing in the majority of our programs. Some of our instructors were not ready to come back. Some of our volunteers who led programs were not ready to come back. So we're opening up just about as fully as we can. There are some programs that are being held until July, but other than that, most everything is up and going as of next week.
Excellent. And if you need any help promoting that you guys are back open and the great services that you provide, feel free to reach out to this council and the mayor as well. And we will make sure people are aware that you guys are back in action. And I know so many seniors that rely on the senior center and as part of their lives, as part of their, you know, so we're happy to see you.
Thank you, Council President. I sure appreciate that.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the council on the senior center budget, senior center's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the senior center's budget? Any questions from members of the public on the senior center's budget? Okay, hearing none, we will move to senior transportation, which is on the same page, page 38. Any questions from members of the council on the senior transportation budget? Okay, any questions from members of the public on the senior transportation budget? Any questions from members of the public on the senior transportation budget? Okay, thank you very much, Director. And we will move on to the personnel budget.
There is a hand that just raised.
Oh, okay.
Hi, sorry for the delay, Barbara Walsh. I'm wondering, is there any cost to the senior who uses this program?
The senior transportation?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll let Bob answer that.
Well, it's a nominal. We use a series of tokens. It's 50 cents a ride. So in other words, every time you get on the bus, it's 50 cents. So round trip would be a dollar. Can't beat that with a stick.
I know. I'm just wondering why it's so low, since the state's program would be $4 a trip or $8 round trip for the same type of program.
Evidently, we have the state beat hands down.
The city has always been extremely supportive of this program. As I'm sure you may be aware, Barbara, senior transportation is a huge problem throughout the state. And this is one of the programs that really does the most to help people remain independent, remain in their homes, which is one of our main goals, is to keep folks aging in place and aging in the community. And the city has always been enormously supportive of that. So you can thank Mayor Picozzi for the support of that program.
Well, I'm not questioning the value of it, but okay. The state's program is $4 each way. I don't understand why the city's would be so much less.
Just to
do more for our seniors. We don't do enough for them.
The city supports it, and that's sort of the short answer. Does 50 cents each way have the burden of the cost of the program? Not even by a long shot.
I know.
So the short answer is the city supports that program because they do feel that it's as important to the seniors as it is. The state apparently does not have the support that we do. And I think one of the things that has to be remembered is a lot of the folks that we serve are people who are low income and on fixed incomes. So even to suggest adding a dollar or two for a lot of the folks that we serve, that would be an extraordinary cost. So we do everything we can to keep it at a minimum.
Thank you very much, Ms. Walsh, and thank you very much, Director. We will to the personnel budget, page 13. Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
So we'll
personnel open up department, page 13 in the budget, 5 in the personnel supplement. Under 1% increase on those here.
Okay, do we have any questions from members of the council on the personnel budget? Councilman Sinapi.
Just a quick one. I saw in the summary, it says there's a 2.75% raise for the non-union employees. I just wanted to know if that was contractual or not.
No, that's not contractual. We don't have a non-union employees.
All righty. Thank you.
Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. Thanks, Director. Couple of quick ones, hopefully. I see there was a random drug alcohol testing line item that had been funded previously. It looks like it's dropped off. Is that a program that's been suspended moving forward?
No, that's something that I think was a glitch. We've always had that program. We'll continue to have it. And it seems to have been on the budget and then fallen off. I suspect it went into some other line and then somebody restored it to this one. So with that as an ongoing program, it's mandatory and the price is about $1,900 a year.
Okay, got it. So maybe that's in, I would struggle to find where it is in the personnel department because you're fairly limited in other expenses in this category.
I did the same thing, and I didn't pay much attention to our own budget because I had a couple of others here that are more complicated. And I said, like, "Wait a minute, what? How did that happen? I didn't notice it." And so I think the answer is that it was pulled from because you see it was there and then it disappeared, and then it came back. I think we might have pulled it from account that's in the benefits budget. It says professional services, and I do wonder. And I in the back of my head, I think we might have allocated it to that account, pulled from there in years past, because it just disappears in one year and then comes back the next.
Okay, all right, got it. $1,900 is not going to sink the ship here, but I just I felt like I'd ask about it. One other question on the personnel side. We heard from a department last night. Who was it? DPW about job descriptions for various roles. I'm wondering, of the positions in your personnel budget here, is there one that would help various departments sort of flesh out job descriptions for you know staff roles within their departments?
Job descriptions is our responsibility, and it would be me, my deputy, Patricia Chanel, and that'd probably be it, just one of the two of us.
Okay, got it. And do all employees currently on the payroll for the city have a job description?
No, there is some, well, there's the unclassified service, so they wouldn't necessarily have a job description. Sometimes we'll rough something up when we're recruiting. And the classified service, I would say that in the bargaining unit positions, they all have a job description. And I have noticed that in the classified service, but exempt non-represented positions, a few of them are missing. I can't find them. I think it was one was discussed yesterday that I think it was the business manager. And I went to look for that one. I heard the conversation last night and I can't find a description. I can find a posting for it, which means that somebody had consciously put together a recruiting announcement back in 2010. But I searched all of our usual places and cannot find a full scale job description for that one. That said, I know that position is changing and I had a conversation with the director prior to this during the budget development. And when he said the description, when the position is changing and it's going to be upgraded, as a rule, I've always taken it that If you're going to change a position, you revise the job description. It's just a matter of course.
Yep. Fair enough. And we know you're jumping in and trying to get things ironed out. So I just want to make sure we emphasize making sure that stuff's buttoned up for the avoidance of any conflict, or and make sure everyone knows their responsibilities and we're all clear on that. So thank you for your hard work. Appreciate it. And I'll touch base on this in a few weeks to see how we're making out.
Thank you, Councilman. Any more questions from members of the council on the personnel budget? Any questions from Councilman Sinapi?
Forgot to ask, when's the last time personnel, the employees got a raise? Because I know the 2.75 this time around.
They haven't gotten one for the last 2 years.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the public on the personnel budget? Any questions from members of the public on the personnel budget? Seeing none, we will move to employee benefits. I believe that's on page 52.
The employee benefits budget began with, we have a 5% savings in health, pharmacy and dental coverage resulting from a change in our plans administrator. And that was a change just recently approved by council a few months ago. We added back 40 contracts in anticipation of rehiring the remainder of laid off staff and hiring a new class of firefighters. And you'll also see at the bottom, we've added a reserve, $800,000 to cover costs that may result from successor labor agreements, and $250,000 to create an OPEB trust account. And this is the initial contribution to that account. So if we extract those amounts and a somewhat unexpected $52,000 increase in our healthcare bonus, the total increase to this budget is about 2.26%.
Thank you very much,
Mr. President. I'd just like to talk for 1 second on the OPEB trust amount, because this issue has been come up before, and I think it's a glaring, there's a glaring footnote really in our audit statement. It's not a footnote, but a disclosure in terms of our liability and no effort whatsoever to fund the liability. It's over $300 million. And our last audit, our neighbors in Cranston are working at funding theirs. Mayor, former Mayor Fung gave our mayor a hard time about not having made a commitment in this area. On the other hand, Providence has a $1.2 billion liability and hasn't made any effort. But I really, if you're noting that you've got a problem, you should take a step to address it. And that's what this is all about. And it's a small step, but I think it's an important step. And it cleans up our financial statements. It shows we've identified a problem, and we're starting to address it.
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. So I just have a few questions and exactly to go along with the OPEB, but this will be the first time that the city of Warwick, if it goes, this will be the first time that the city of Warwick is putting some funds in for the OPEB trust and the liability that we were talking about. Obviously, this is something that the city of Warwick should have been doing years ago. We have to start somewhere. Like you mentioned, Cranston started recently and they're already up to about, what, $4 million, I believe?
$8 million.
And, you know, so while it looks like a small number in the grand scheme of things, it's a start. And we do have to start somewhere. And I think that's important to point out.
Just mentioning one other thing. The last fire union contract that was approved has a provision that new employees hired after this coming July, or before, after the contract was signed, new employees have to participate in an OPEB trust. And there's going to be a 2% payroll reduction from those new employees. And the chief was talking earlier about the recruiting that he's doing right now. so that we need to have somewhere for it to go. So it's a, we have to set up a trust, even if this appropriation is not here, and it's going to be such a small amount, it's going to be extraordinary overhead if we're just taking 2% of 20 some new employees' payroll. So it's a combination of both setting this up for, to comply with the contract and also moving ahead for the rest of the city employees.
Thank you. And also in the city contractual obligations, $800,000. The city's currently has a couple of contracts coming up. Is that part of this for the negotiation or?
The $800,000 is a set aside for pending negotiations with FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, and Council 94, our municipal representative.
Okay, and those are ongoing at this time?
Yes.
Yes. And I just want to highlight again what you mentioned at the beginning of your comments is we saw a 5% savings under the new healthcare plan that was recommended by the administration and passed by the council. Is that correct?
That's correct. About 5% in this fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions from members of the council on the employee benefits? Councilman Gephardt.
The two items that jump out, 75164 healthcare bonus. Can you go into that a little bit? It's a little more than twice what it was in previous fiscal years and more as you go back further.
Yes, I mentioned that in my opening. That was an unexpected jump. So the healthcare bonus is all employees who are eligible for health insurance are eligible for a bonus if you hit certain milestones, if you get flu shots, wellness, an annual checkup, eye examination, and there's a couple of other milestones. As they build up, you get a certain amount of a bonus for it. If you're on an individual plan, you will get a maximum bonus of $300. And if you're on a family plan, you'll get a maximum bonus of $500. Providing you and your families participating in these sort of healthy activities. So we were a little surprised at this, as you can see, it doubled. We didn't see it until my staff person came in and said, hey, it doubled. Pent up demand, people paying more attention. I'm not sure what caused it, but we do wonder if it was somewhat pent up demand because people weren't getting these things done, and then they started doing it again as restrictions were lifted.
Got it. So this is the wellness incentive that we talked about in the healthcare hearings, essentially.
This is the city's wellness incentive.
Got it. Any intent to add a smoking cessation component to that, or is there one in there already?
I am not sure of all of the benchmarks, so I would have to look into that.
Yeah, to me, you know, in a standard business where employees tend to jump around a lot, keeping them healthy for the long term isn't always, there's not always a tremendous ROI on it, though it is good ethically. But in municipal, where folks tend to stay for a longer period of time, certainly an investment in their long-term health, which, you know, especially on a semi self-insured plan will over time drive down our costs, seems like a good place to put some money. So no issues there, just wanted to clarify what that bucket was.
Councilman Gephardt, I can expand upon that a little bit. One of the benefits of changing health care providers from West Bay Collaborative to Interlocal Trust was to enjoy the trust's more robust wellness program offerings. And one of those program offerings is smoking cessation, specifically. So that is part of the package of benefits that we've purchased through the trust. They'll be rolling that out in the course of the next fiscal year.
Okay, good to hear. The other big one, 75180, well, I guess not big one on this page, but one that had a substantial change
severance pay. So I'm assuming this is related to terminations.
Severance is only available if you retire, if you're eligible to retire when you leave. So there's two payouts that people get when they leave, and one is not in this line item, and that would be your accumulated unused vacation time. That gets paid out to anyone who leaves at any time. And then severance, what we call severance here in the city, is for people who are retirement eligible and who leave, they get 2 days per year of service. And so this basically means, I noticed that number too, that a lot of people left with a substantial amount of years of service, and so they got their severance amount.
Okay, and then so the budget would reflect that we're anticipating more retirements, or is this essentially already, has this already happened and it's just reflected here in the budget?
What we have, let me find the line again, severance pay.
It's up about 30K or 20 and change from last year.
So all I did is add another another 5% increase. I didn't have any real hardcore analysis beyond that and looking at prior years. So if we're fortunate, they're very comfortable, we won't go over that. You know, I'm pretty sure we'll come in under that.
I can't see how anyone would want to retire from this new administration. So congratulations.
You'd be surprised.
I'm also told the contract negotiations, that's another reason I kept the price at the higher level. I'm told the contract negotiations inspire retirements.
Okay.
You know, people panic either in the front end or the back end. I don't know.
Okay. All right. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Let's see. I wanted to ask on the healthcare, which I understand is through the trust, and we are projecting that approximately 5% savings. How baked in is that 5%? Is that a projection or are these hard numbers?
The 5% is the basis of the census data that we gave them when they did the estimate. And of course, everything changes once the next day happens. Somebody comes off, somebody goes on, somebody retires, somebody else goes to the family plan. But that was on the basis of that census, and that is baked into this. I mean, it's very real. But then, as I mentioned in the beginning, we did have to estimate, and this is something we didn't have when we dropped that census data. Now we have to make an estimate of what else how much more are we going to spend on it? And that's where we put in those 40 new employees, not new employees, in some cases employees who were recalled, and in some cases employees who will be recruited. So the 5% is real, but we also had to estimate in coming fiscal year, what are we going to spend on basically new policies?
Thank you. I do have, I suppose, a question in that, and I understand that with the trust, it's that combination, collaboration of the various cities and towns that are members. And so it spreads out the risks, spreads out the costs. But if claims tend to go up, not just on, not just talking the number of employees that the city has, but if claims were to go up during the upcoming fiscal year, would that impact us during fiscal year 22?
Not during fiscal year 22.
Okay, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.